Greetings and welcome to the Family Worship Center Media Ministry, coming to you from the Family Worship Center in St. George, New Brunswick. Today, our pastor, Pastor Eric Orm, will be preaching a message entitled, Arise and Shine. If you would like a copy of this message or any other message from this ministry, please contact the church office at area code 506-755-3759. Before we hear from our pastor, Brother Michael Smyrna has a quick announcement regarding our missionaries.
So the pastor handed me my Philippine lesson for today, and I'm never good at pronouncing this box, but the Balak Baya box. We all know what it is. We support, today is Missionary Sunday, so praise God for that. We do support missionaries all over, and we do have Dale and Gwen that are in the Philippines, and every year they have these boxes that are put together, and everything that you can fit in the boxes gets shipped over there, and it's just a blessing for all the, well, not only for Gwen and Dale and what they're trying to do in their ministry, but the people that are surrounding in the villages, and they're just always so excited to receive these. So I'm just going to read a real quick list of some things that we're going to be putting into the boxes. And if anybody has anything to donate to be put in the boxes, bring it in the church. We'll collect it, put it in one of the rooms downstairs. And when we get it all together, we'll get it all wrapped up and ready to go. For now, for the next couple weeks, bring stuff in. So batteries, AA, AAA, 9-volt, pencils, colored pencils, crayons, coloring books, used kids' books for preschool, library. No magic guns, Santa Claus, etc. Unwanted gifts you don't use or don't want. Make sure that if somebody in here gave it to you, you sneak it in. Just kidding. that are in your house. Vacuum bags for clothes. Makes more room in the box. Dollar store items. Vitamins for adults and kids. No aspirin or artificial sweeteners. Kids fever pain medicine. Ibuprofen, other pain meds, antibiotic creams, toothache medicines, eardrops, just basically a lot of things that we'll post it out back on the bulletin board or somewhere that we are on the table or something so people can take a look at it. Tomato soup, cream of chicken soup, canned goods, Kool-Aid, no artificial sweeteners, canned meat, no pork, chicken, turkey, cinnamon gingerbread cookies, dark chocolate, no nuts, Jell-O, pudding, Certo, homemade jams and preserves, and there's a little smiley face by that one, so I assume they'd like those. Mrs. Dash seasoning, toys like small Lego, matchbox cars, backpacks, hotel packages of shampoo, conditioners, and lotions, scotch tape, homemade round scrub pads, toothbrushes, dry freezer bags, and if someone would like to donate, food dehydrator, pressure canner, used cell phones with charger, they can be adapted to be used in the Philippines. So there's lots of needs there, and we're going to be putting together, we'll be putting together one box for sure, and if we get enough interest, we'll put together as many as we need to and send it off. So again, it is Missionary Sunday, and we will be honoring all missionaries in prayer, and they're just such an awesome work around the world. So we'll definitely get a definite date. We'll send it out on Facebook, and we'll also announce it on Tuesday. So we don't want them to go needing something that we can supply. So we're going to do that for sure.
Thank you, Mike. Now here's our pastor, Pastor Eric Orm, with today's message.
I don't know if you happen to see, I just feel to make reference to, although it's not in alignment with where I believe the Lord would want us to go this morning, but came to my mind so strong just before I came up here that the little clip we saw just recently, I think it's been around for a while, some of you may have seen it, but how many of you remember seeing the clip that some amateur people doing some video, I believe it was in Africa, and they were on one side of the river, and on the other side is a water buffalo, Cape buffalo, okay. And anyway, they were coming up along the bank, and you could see up along the way there was lions waiting to destroy and to take advantage of this wonderful feast that's coming up the bank, up the river, along the bank. And they were just waiting. And, you know, when you see that, you kind of oh no, man, they look so innocent. There's a whole herd of these buffalo coming up the bank, and they seem to be so innocent, and they got little ones there, and you see the lions, will be five of them crouching down, ready to make the kill. You know, when I saw that, you know, it's so much like the picture that we see. You know, really, if you could see in the spirit realm, that's how it is many times with a body of believers. A body of believers, we're just prodding along and we're enjoying eternal bliss. It's good, God is good, and everything is going great. And how many know, though, that the enemy will not like it when the church is advancing and we're just feasting and going along the banks of the river that's flowing with milk and honey, and so we're enjoying each other and enjoying God. But while we're in this life, ever so often, we encounter some things, and the origin of the stuff is the enemy. It's our enemy. It's the enemy of our souls. And so just like those lions that were just waiting there to give those buffalo a bad day, they're about to encounter a bad day, and they were just crouching, and then you saw as the one that took the lead got the scent or saw the lions, and it just got a fright, and it just went like this and began to turn and run, and that was it. The whole herd turned. It was a huge herd, and they all turned and began to run, and as you see many times on I'm sure you've seen it on National Geographic and stuff. They began to run, and the little one couldn't keep up with the whole herd. The little one, we always have to consider the little one. There's always one young in the faith, weak in the faith, one that doesn't have as much strength as the rest. And so the little one kind of got off to the side, and wouldn't you know it, those lions, all of them, just pounced on that little one, and it was with such a vengeance that it knocked the little one right into the river. And so then they were down at the river's edge trying to just to go at this little one, and your heart just sank, oh man, it looks so pitiful. And then, you know, when you're having a bad day, this crocodile grabs the other end of the poor little thing and is trying to get it. It says, well, there's not a chance. But then something amazing happened, and it was so phenomenal that these people, I'm told they sold this video to, I guess it's National Geographic, for $1 million, because this was so phenomenal. Do you know, something, a wind of ideology that blew through that herd, and those dumb animals kind of got, something rose up in them. They said, we're not gonna take it. And they said, we're not gonna take it anymore. And you know, they turned around the whole herd. You think they're dumb animals just running off, and this little one, and the sound of the march is so powerful. Who can hear the screams of a little one? But they did. Somehow, somebody got the message up to the one right up front. Turn around. We're going back. There's not going to be one left behind. And they turned around, and they came back. And you saw it there on video. It was amazing how they captured it. They came back and they made for those lions, those devils, and the first buffalo took this lion and tossed it right up in the air so many times around, and it came down, and it went after it again, and they went after the other ones, and still one or two began, still continued to pounce. Sometimes the devil will not let go without a fight. But it took the whole herd to hold it together, to maintain the vision, to maintain focus. We know what we're doing, and we're not giving up. Yes, it looks bad. It looks bad for that one down in the river. It looks bad because a crocodile's on one end and a lion is on the other. But we're not giving up, and they kept going after those lions and flicking them up in the air, flicking them up in the air. And then all of a sudden, those two lions got the thing dragged out of the water, so the crocodile's gone. And so, but they're still fighting. They're still contending for the faith. And so what happened? All of a sudden, the commentator said, look, it's still alive. It's still alive. And the little one is up on his feet and ran away with the whole herd. I'm saying, God, help us get that into our
hearts and spirits in Jesus' name. If that herd of dumb animals can get that truth, how much more should we embrace it? How much more should we know? No, sir. We're not allowing one to be left behind. We're not allowing the devil to separate us. We're not allowing the enemy to come and have that one cast off because it's weak. And it may not be so strong in the faith. It may have a misunderstanding. It may not know how, that we got to run. It may have walked too slow. But that doesn't matter. We're turning around and we're going to embrace in Jesus' name. And the devil is not going to have one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to embrace that. We need to get that in the mighty name of Jesus. And know this. It's not flesh and blood. It's never flesh and blood. In the kingdom of God, we are about to experience, and we are experiencing wonderful things. But just as soon as the Lord, and just as sure as the Lord is at work, by the same token, the enemy will not like it. And you know what? As long as we got a revelation of the truth, as long as we know these things, there ought to be none lost. They came out of Egypt, and there was not one left behind, not one crippled, not one weak, not one. Nothing. They were all, he brought them all out. In Jesus' name. And that's his purpose today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for your amazing, wonderful, abundant love. We thank you, Lord, because you bring us abundant life. You bring us abundance in this life. We thank you, Lord. We recognize you. We appreciate you. We love you. And we thank you, Lord, that you're always leading us into deeper truths. And, Lord, Father, we know that by the power of your Spirit that you want us, Lord, to have a revelation of the riches of your glory. You want us, Father, to walk with a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. And so as we come again today, once again, Father, we pray that you would just cause us, the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we might know you more, that we might see you in a way we've never seen you, that we be changed from glory to glory in your precious and mighty and glorious name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Lord. It seems as though the Lord is wanting us to look more closely at all he's got available for us, and for us to know that he planned in such a way that same old, just don't cut it in the kingdom. He's God. He's bigger and fresher and all of that, and he's so God, he can't make two snowflakes the same. He can't make two set of hands with the same fingerprint because he's God. When he does something, it's always fresh, it's always new. And he's got so much for us. And when we come together in times like this, I sometimes want us to remember that it's just not another service. It's just not another gathering. We come for a specific purpose. And when we come, do you know what? There's something actually happening each time we meet. If you come and your understanding is we leave the same way we came, then there's something missing in your understanding about how this works. We come together, and yes, we come to bless the Lord and lift him up and to honor one another and bless one another and love on one another. But each time we do that, we get another deeper revelation of who he is, and something is happening on the inside of us that we may not even be aware of in that particular service. But I'll guarantee you one thing, as you press in, as you remain consistent, as you remain a worshiper and a praiser and a lover of Jesus and each other, there will occur in you a change, just as you see that change occurring in that flower that's blossoming and blooming in the springtime. You don't see it today, and you probably don't see it tomorrow. But one morning you look, and there is after changing. It's opening up more. You didn't see it happen, but it happened. And that's the way it is when we come before the Lord. We are being changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I'm going to read some scripture to you. Exodus 40, 34, 35 says this. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Psalm 72, 19, blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Now, if you read your Bible, you'll be reading. That's what it says. It says that blessed be his glorious name forever, and may the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. It actually writes amen twice. And do you know why the ancient Hebrews, when they wrote a word twice, do you know what they were doing? Do you know why they wrote the word, the same word, twice? It was their way of shouting. To say the word twice was the best way they could shout. And so when they said, the whole earth be filled with his glory, amen and amen, what they wanted to do there was shout. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. That's what they're saying. John 17 says, I glorify you on earth, Jesus saying, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you when before the world existed. I want you to get your mind around the word glory. The Lord is wanting us to look at glory. Colossians 1:27, then God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, Scripture is filled with the word glory. And it's only in the recent weeks, the Lord is just gripping my heart. And he's saying, look at glory. I want you to get an understanding of my glory. And Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Hebrews 1:3, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Isn't that a little bit different than the way you would say power, his power? By the word of his power. It doesn't say by the power of his word. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. See, there's a difference. We would say, by the power of his word. But by the word of his power, it means it's the aspect of the power. His word is one aspect of his power, the power of God, where he speaks things into existence. He's all powerful. His glory includes his power. But he upholds the universe by the word of his power. There are all kinds of aspects to his power, but it's just the aspect of his word that he upholds the universe. Philippians, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the power that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? To the glory of the Father. It's to the glory of the Father. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory. John 11:40, Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Psalm 24:7-8, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, and the King of glory. See, that's Family Worship Center. See that? That's who you are. Praise God. Don't ever let go of that ground. in Jesus' name. That King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, strong in battle. When we see one who's hurting, when we see one who's been wounded, when we see one who has some form of misgiving, misunderstanding, whatever, it doesn't matter. When we see one who's weak, we see one who is struggling, we got to know that the Lord is strong in battle. And we can turn in Jesus' name, and we can go and rescue that one. We rescue that one because we have a knowledge. We have a knowledge of the riches of the glory that's in Christ. It's coming. It's coming. Isaiah 58, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Your rear guard. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We learned last week that there's a power that works in us, amen? You see, if we're not aware of the power that works in us, then probably we can go through life not accessing that power. We need to know that there's power available and power that's in us when His Spirit comes in us. There's power. And so the writer in Ephesians says, now to Him, is He able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? Well, He's saying, I'm going to tell you something. According to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church. So that means we have something to do with it. We have something to do with it. And if you want to know what the measure you're going to utilize, if you want to know the instrument or the tool or the power you're going to draw upon, it's the power that works in us, which is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And if that same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies, what is it going to do? It's going to quicken something around here in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There comes a quickening spirit by the resurrection power. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Sakura masikite. Thank you, Lord. To him, be glory. See that? To him, be glory. Be glory. Now that glory, we can determine, this is going to be a big statement. I hope I don't have to retract it. But we can determine to experience His glory. To Him be glory in the church. By Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. Or in other words, permit it so. Let it happen. It should be the norm because there is power available to work inside you. There's power. There's power. So then we go and see what we just read. My main verse for today is Isaiah 60:1, which is lift up your heads. Or in other words, rise. It starts off with the word rise in your Bible. Rise or lift up your head. Shine. I never understood how some preachers could get up and preach a message from one word, but I believe from that one word, rise, right there, there's a whole message. Rise, so it's a command. Rise, church. Isaiah saying prophetically, rise, lift up your heads. Rise up in Jesus' name. Awaken from the dead. And I'm glad that you are. Rise and shine. Why? Because your light has come. Your light has come. And His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And having a knowledge of this is what's paramount. You see, these things exist whether you know it or not. Truth is, Paul says, I labor in pain and I pray unceasingly that you, the brethren, would have a spirit of revelation and knowledge, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. And He's speaking to the believers. And unless we have this revelation, this spirit of wisdom and and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, these things can exist and we never access it. We never walk in it. But he says, I'm praying unceasingly that you know this and that your eyes be enlightened to the knowledge of who we are, that we are the called out ones, and that we would know the riches of the glory. And today we're talking about glory. So he's saying, rise, lift up your head. 2 Corinthians 3:17. For the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. 2 Corinthians 4 says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Not only can we not step into greater revelation of the glory, but those that are not saved don't have a chance. The God of this world totally blinds the eyes of the unbeliever. Thank you, Lord. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, amen, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's why he said that we might know the riches of his glory. 2 Corinthians in the King James Version says this, but we all, with uncovered face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? We could be changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Another translation says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. The Amplified Bible, I like it, put it this way. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transformed into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Isn't that something? This comes from the Lord. And sometimes we haven't looked too much at that verse because we almost feel sacrilegious. What? But let's take another look at it. Let's look at some other translations. Something very powerful going to come out in a moment, if you could just bear with me. The CEV translation says, so our faces are not covered. They show the bright glory of the Lord as the Lord's Spirit makes us more and more like our glorious Lord. You looking like the Lord? Me looking like the Lord? Yes, it's possible. But we all, beholding the glory of the Lord with open face, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Another ERV translation, and our faces are not covered. We all show God's glory and we are being changed to be like Him. This change in us brings more and more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Isn't that something? One more. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. So Isaiah says, arise, church. Arise, awaken. Lift up your head, church. It's time to rise and shine because your light has come. Now, so we need a knowledge of that. We need a revelation of that. Otherwise, we will not rise, and we will not shine, and we will not know that the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Amen. That's what we have to get a revelation of, that there's glory that comes, that rests upon us, that separates us from the world, and causes many other things to happen, as we're going to see in a moment. I'm glad that this church is rising. I'm glad you're rising. I see people expressing love to one another. That's a church who's rising up in Jesus' name and knowing that their light has come. I see folk giving sacrificially to each other. I see you do that. That's awesome. I see folk dying to self. I see that. And you're dying to self to do what? To bless someone else. I see demonstrations of that all week long among you people. That's awesome. God is honoring that. The glory of the Lord is about to rest upon us in a measure we have never considered possible. I see glory on each face. I see glory on your faces. And sometimes, if you listen closely, you can hear the brush of angel wings. Hallelujah. I can hear the brush of angel wings, and I see glory on each face. Amen? We got to see it in Jesus' name. Because if we walk in the Spirit as He is in the Spirit, and when we walk in the knowledge of who Jesus is, we sing this song, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Well, do you know Him? And if you know Him, there's some things that's going to be transforming you, and you're going to go from glory to glory, and you're being transformed into the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad you know. I see His glory on your face. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So Isaiah 60 says, arise. Arise. Wake up. Lift up your head. For your light has come. See that? You. Excuse me. Rise and shine. Rise and shine. What? Get up. What? Your light has come. What? Yes, your light has come. I got good news for you. What do you mean? Your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Wake up. Lift up your head, church. And you said, I thought you just said we're doing it. Yes, I did. But guess what I'm going to say now? It's from glory to glory. Ever increasing degrees of glory. What degree do you have? Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. The glory. Arise. Now, there's something real cute coming here in a minute. I say, don't leave me now. Don't leave me now. Loose wheel. The glory of the Lord. You see, you know what amazing thing is? We started talking about the glory of the Lord couple weeks ago, and it was just the Lord just reading the word. The Lord just exploded. It just exploded in the Scripture, Ephesians chapter 1. It just exploded that you might know the glory, the riches of the glory, and I can't get away from it. And do you know what? That kind of rot up my socks. Something. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But you know, like there are people that got no connection, and they're all around us, and people are beginning to talk about the glory. John Wall puts this statement on the Facebook, this John Wall guy did, and I says, man, oh man, he starts talking about the glory from the conference he was at. I says, man, I love it. That's awesome, but I'm jealous. I wish I should be there. And this is the real thing God has been speaking to me about lately. And then I talked to somebody else, and they said, this person from away, they're prophesying something about Charlotte County. They believe the glory of the Lord is about to be experienced. I say, yes, Lord. When it's been confirmed in the mouth of many witnesses, we know God is up to something, but we got to get a revelation of it. You know what? In this thing all my life, but I'm beginning to see this differently in the last couple weeks. You know, I told you, I'm not going to dwell on it. I will spare you, but I got to say this, that in 1996, January 96, I would say, the presence of the Lord filled my car for days. And then I sometimes say, well, Jesus sat in the seat next to me. That's the only way I can say. He was just right there. I was talking to him. And I didn't want to pump gas because I want to get back in. I drove across the United States. I mean, for 5 days I sat there in his presence. But the Lord's beginning to show me it was his glory. The glory is it's a revelation of his splendor and majesty. It's kind of difficult to understand, but wonderful to experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there was, and my brother the other day was talking to somebody. He said, only way he could describe it, he said, Eric went away for revival, he said, and never came back. He left the business. He said he left the business and never ever came back. Hallelujah, because I got a taste of the glory. Hallelujah. And when you get a taste, you're ruined for life. You're ruined for life. You want to keep on drinking at the fountain. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I believe Lynn and I, when we went to Brownsville, that revival, I believe we didn't know it then, but we stepped into the glory. We stepped into to glory. And I tell you, we're not going to be satisfied until we're experiencing the glory again and again and again. And we see measures of it. The revelation is this. Here's the exciting news, because, see, this if it's not understood, can bring separation. It can separate churches, divide churches, and all that stuff, right? I mean, we came back from revival, and after spending days and days in the presence of the Lord, and some people would say, you know, well, you can't, oh, we got the presence of the Lord here. You can't go and bring it back. Forget that old foolishness. I'm just sitting there shining. Wow, right? Wow, I'm in the glory, no? But the truth is, it's not just glory and no glory. There is from glory to glory. There's degrees of His glory, and there's degrees of revelation, and you go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until we're into the full-blown glory, Shekinah glory of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. His glory, get this, we just said it, but to summarize, His glory is another degree of His presence, or another dialing up of His presence. You can have presence, get this, now this is original stuff, not copied from anybody. This is from, just as I feel, Holy Spirit gave it to me. You can have presence without glory, but you cannot have glory without presence. The way into the glory is through His presence. And in a practical way, we can describe it like this. You know, I could never understand. In the tabernacle of Moses, and people get it mixed up all the time, from now on, you won't be mixed up anymore. You have the outer court, and then you have what? The next one. Holy place, or inner court, you say, right? But you know, actually, you read it closely, that second place has got Holy of Holies. Well, you would think that's as far as you can get. Nope. It's called Holy of Holies. We think in our mind, Holy of Holies has got to be the holiest place. No. There is another level. But how many know it's a great place to be? We love it in the Holy of Holies. And the priests would minister daily in the Holy of Holies. And guess what? They experienced the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. They ministered before the Lord daily, as we do. But the next level into the very presence of God was called the most holy place. See that? So you experience Him here. Actually, you experience Him when you get saved in the outer court. But as you grow and mature, you go into a holy of holies place with God. And it's wonderful. But unless we, get this, church, unless we have the revelation, unless we have a deeper revelation, that's what we got to get a grip on. God is giving us a deeper revelation. And the reason Paul prayed without ceasing, that those people who are already filled with the Spirit, born again, living in the Holy of Holies, wonderful place, and a place we arrive and most often park. And the church has been parked in the Holy of Holies, which is a good compliment. But I pray, I thank God there's more. I think there's a place called the most holy place, and that is where the priest, the high priest, experienced the glory. It was called, the ancient Hebrews called it the Shekinah glory. See that? Shekinah glory. And so there's a place we want to go. Here's a place we need to experience. His presence is wonderful, and what without it, we could not live. Get this nugget of truth. Without the presence of God, we could not live. When we are transformed into His image, this is a powerful truth. When we are transformed into His image, we are dead to self. When we're fully transformed into His image, I want you to get this, church. When we keep coming, and we're pressing and we're experiencing amazing truths that He's leading us into, amazing revelation and the knowledge of who He is. We are transformed. We are fully transformed. Paul said, I pray daily that until Christ is fully formed in you, fully formed. And when he is fully formed, when we are transformed into his image, we are dead to self and our presence disappears and his appearance and glory appears. Did you get that? That's the best news you ever heard. Your presence disappear. Wow. Linda, I know she's got good ears, but we've tried this. She'll be somewhere in a room. She's not expecting me back, and I'll be so quiet, like deathly quiet. I mean, and I'm going to sneak up on her. And she'll say, I knew you were there. I said, how do you know? I just sense your presence. We got a presence. I don't know how that works, but we got a presence about us. But I want it so that my presence disappears, amen? When I'm here and you're experiencing everything about me, I don't want you to see me. I want you to see Jesus high and lifted up. Because I'm the one that, I'm the block. In our fleshly, carnal state, we're actually a block to seeing him in all his glory. But when we experience the glory, we begin to disappear and he appears. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. His glory is another degree of his presence. Thank you, Lord. When you are in the glory, you live differently, or else you slip out. Now, this could be stretching. This may differ with your understanding. I never said you backslide. I never said you lose your salvation. But living in the realm of his glory, where his image, when somebody sees you coming, they see someone hidden behind the cross. And are we always there? No. We go in and out. And we go out for different reasons. You know, the priests worshiped a way into the presence of God. And we worship our way out of the presence of God to reach the lost and dying world. And we do other things other than the priestly order of the day. And sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we fall. Sometimes we slip. Sometimes we get into flesh and we slip out of that realm. We still experience the presence of God and we're still saved. But we're actually slipped out of that area known as his very glory. Sin will grieve him in that level of his manifestation, in that degree of his person, in that aspect of his power, that aspect of his power, the glory of his power. Not the word of his power, but the glory of his power. The glory of his power can be grieved and lift and leave for a season. The glory departed the temple when Israel lost a battle and the ark was taken by the enemy and Samuel's grandson was named Ichabod, meaning the glory has departed. Many churches today experience the glory from around the world. And some has never experienced it. And some never experienced even the presence of God. Remember, there's two levels. You see, here's another statement that the Lord dropped in my heart yesterday. And I won't elaborate for time's sake. But at salvation, we repent. But in the glory, we confess. That can be deep, but it's profound if you thought about it. I'm almost done. 2 Corinthians. Our faces then are not covered with an unveiled face. We all show, reflect, or behold, or contemplate the Lord's glory, and we are being changed, transformed to be like him, unto the same image. This change in us brings ever greater glory, is from one degree of glory to another, is from glory to glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So Isaiah says this, it's a command to the church. It's a command to the church. Arise. Rise up. Awaken from sleep. From the place, get this, from the place, where from? From the place that your family expected to find you. Isn't that cool? Awake. What do you mean wake up? Well, as a Christian, as someone following the Lord, growing in the grace of God, the empowerment of God to go deeper, when he says, arise, church, he's saying, arise from a place, and my Holy Spirit dropped in my heart yesterday, from the place where your family expected to find you. See, because our church family sees us in a place. And our natural family sees us in a place. Because of everything they know about us, all of the confession of our mouth and our testimony and how we live. And so the command and the expectation of the prophet when he's speaking prophetically is arise. Arise from that place. Because now that you're getting a knowledge of something, a revelation, there's some wisdom here that Holy Spirit wants you to embrace. And that is, your light has come. You're living in a place where His light shines, and His light has shone on you. Then he says, it's time to shine for Him. It's time to shine with new wine. Because your light has come, because the glory of the Lord has risen on you. Behold, it goes on to say, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will rise over you and His glory will be seen upon you. Folks, it's dark out there, isn't it? Isn't it dark in the world? I mean, you watch TV, you find there's lots of darkness, isn't it? Like it's so dark out there. But your light shines brightest in the dark. See that? Now, like if you ever shone, now it's the time. Yeah. Now is the time to embrace your light that's come. And this glory of God that wants to rest upon you, now is the time. Because he says, it's dark and gross darkness, the people. You've never seen so much darkness. Malachi 4:2 says this, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. I'd love to be the fattest Christian around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so he says here, the wings here, he says, the sun, issue wind. It's amazing that the Bible says issue wind. I thought it was a misprint. How can they? What? I saw it on the screen as well. What they got done? They meant issue wind. But the Bible says issue wind. And the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and be fed. Wings referred prophetically to the robes of Jesus. Did you know that? The wings that he's referring to prophetically when he says the sun shall arise. And the people of Jesus, they knew that scripture. They knew what that meant. And they read the Old Testament. And they read Isaiah. And so when that woman that pressed through the crowd and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, in her mind, do you know what she was saying? If I can only touch his wings. Because she knew that Isaiah said, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And if I can only touch the wings, I know I'll be healed. And Jesus said, virtue has gone out of me. Who touched me? She touched the one that was prophetically pronounced to be the one who had healing in his wings. Here it was fulfilled. Now, here's the thing about the Son. The sun is going to rise tomorrow morning, right? No. I got bad news for you. Play on words, I guess. But anyway, the sun does not rise, right? Technically. Well, actually, the sun doesn't rise. We say it all the time. And it was said prophetically here in the scripture. We actually rise every day. As we come from a night out there spinning, right? The earth is spinning in darkness, and here comes the sun. So we actually rise as we come from a night out there spinning. I want you to see some parallel stuff for now. And in the morning, we rotate, right? We rotate in front of the sun who was there all the time, waiting patiently in line, right? The sun. And so there's a truth coming here you've never seen in your life. You got to have this one. And so the sun, he said, the sun shall rise. It's an amazing truth here. The sun will rise with healing in his wings. But the sun is, it's we're the one. Rise up, church. And so we're spinning in the darkness, and we rotate, and here's the sun waiting patiently in line. And so we rotate there, and while we rendezvous in a dark place, he's just waiting there. And Isaiah says, rise, church, shine, for your light has come. See, the onus is on us. See that? The sun was there all the time. And the sun doesn't rise, but we're the one that must rise. And do we say, oh, God, I pray you're there when I lift my head? Forget it. He's there. Do you know how big the sun is? Have you seen how big the sun is compared to the earth? And the sun is there. He's there waiting for us. And he's saying, rise up, church. Come on now. You're going somewhere. And as you rotate, wow, look at the sunrise. Man, I can't wait to see it. And I'm shining because my light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the natural, the sun will find us older every day. I'm older now, and I'm older today than I was yesterday. That's in the natural. But when we come before him, we look more mature, and we go from glory to glory in the face of Jesus, the Son of Righteousness. The opposite happens, and he brings us greater glory as we increase from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. As we lift or up or arise in the morning, and we lift our heads for that sun to shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen on you. Psalmist David said, lift up your head, O ye gates. Be lifted up, O ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who's the King of glory? The Lord. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord strong in battle. Are you going through a battle today? Then don't embrace anything but the Lord. Don't embrace anything but the Lord. It will fail you. Everything else will fail. But when we embrace the Lord, he's strong in battle. He's mighty to deliver. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Lift ye up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. It's the King of who? Glory. And it requires a lifting up of the head. It requires of us being established, awakened in the truth, and embracing the light of God, the light of the gospel, and the King of glory may come in. No, he shall come in Jesus' name. The Lord of hosts is his name. He is the King of glory. It says before that, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? When we are changed from glory to glory, we look like him and we stand in his holy place on the earth. See that? Who may stand in his place? When we look like him, we can stand in his place. Who can ascend that hill? Who can stand in that place? Those that have clean hands and a pure heart. That's in the glory. A place of his glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor. We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like a copy of this message or any other message, you can contact us by writing Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 1092, St. George, New Brunswick, E5C2G8. Or call us at area code 506-755-3759. You can also visit us online at www.stgeorgefwc.ca. You can also find us on Facebook. On behalf of pastor, staff, and congregation of the Family Worship Center, we would like to welcome you to join us as we all meet together at 10:30 a.m. right here at the Family Worship Center in St. George, New Brunswick. Until next week, God bless, and have a blessed week.